Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are pony play, sexual assault, drugging, violence, and explicit sexual content.
Pony play.
Yeah, I like that. That's a trigger warning.
You never know. Horses are scary.
They can be. And I have a Spotify comment, and this comes from Brittany Thornton. It says, love listening to y'all. You make me laugh so much. I always look forward to Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Aw.
Cute.
Thank you.
Brittany.
Sweetie.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Initiation, Sex Wizards, Book 1 by Alethea Faust. And if you want to hear our ratings on the book, stay tuned to the end of the episode.
It's taken our main character 4 weeks to reach Stratham. His name is Dom, and he's officially out of money and thinks he must be insane for doing this. The towers of the structure are giant, all shaped and colored differently. The only reason he is there is because of an introduction letter promising he would be an adept. He got the letter on his way here from a woman that he was traveling with and he had sexual relations with.
Oh.
He's a poor man from a boring family, but somehow magic is still in his bloodline and he made it. He presents the letter to the woman at the gate and she leads him through. She says he is to take a magic aptitude test to see what he knows so far, which is... zero. He's shown to a small, modest room where he drops his things so she can take him to the bathhouse because he's a little stinky.
She's like, please shower.
She's like, you literally reek.
She grabs him a towel and fresh clothes and tells him to meet her in the main atrium when he's done, and then she's gone. He's naked in the steaming bath when another hot-ass man walks in, stripping all the way down and going straight for the ice baths. Dom gasps when he sees the man's back and ass are raw and bleeding with bruises everywhere. The man notices him and asks if he's new. Dom says yes, and then the stranger asks what schooling he's gonna study. Dom has no idea since he doesn't know the different schools and gets out so he could towel off. The stranger checks him out and Dom kinda is into it. Dom then leaves to meet the woman who showed him in, which we learn her name is Galiva, so she can finish the tour of the structure. Galiva ushers Dom into a room asking what he knows about the aptitude test, and he says, I know nothing. She tells him that's fine. She just needs him to undress and she'll explain. He says, what the fuck? Why?
Because we're going to have sex, she says matter-of-factly. I gape at her. Alessandi was beautiful, but Galiva is about 3 cities out of my league. What? If you're not comfortable with intimate contact, there's still a place for you if you have magic in your blood. But this will turn into a very difficult kind of aptitude test. Are you adverse to sex? She asks, sounding a little amused.
Yeah, my boy. These are sex wizards.
They are sex wizards.
Crazy.
He says no, he's not averse to sex because he literally just had sex with Alessandi on the way here. So he starts getting undressed and he's already got a boner.
Nice.
She then undresses and tells him there are a couple things for him to know while they do this. She explains that if he wants to stop at any time, he can. And then she pulls a pillow from a cabinet with a blindfold and a rope. She says they will first cast a protection spell with the blindfold and the rope. He says okay as she gets him ready. She binds him and checks in to make sure he's doing okay, and he's more than okay with this. She then has him kneel on the pillow and binds his legs to where he can't move them and then grips his hair hard. She grabs his bound hands behind his back and shoves him forward so he's ass in the air.
Face down, ass up. My cock throbs as Galiva pushes my knees apart once more. Now you don't strike me as the adventurous type, she muses, so I'm sure this will be new for you. Then I feel her hands spreading my cheeks apart. Something cold and wet slicks my ass, teasing my hole as if giving me a second to say stop. When I don't, she eases her finger into me. A strangled sort of groan escapes me as Galiva thrusts gently, first one knuckle, then a second.
Oh, a little finger in the booty.
Already.
He's at school.
Day 1.
He's gotta learn.
Yeah.
She adds another finger, stretching him further, and then she's putting something cool and smooth in his ass, and he's totally loving it. She then places a ring over his dick. It's snug and hugs the base, and then she starts jerking him off. She uses his hair to sit him back up before she straddles him and then starts fucking him. They have sex until they both come, and then the blindfold is removed. He watches her as he stands up and she takes the ring from his cock. She congratulates him on his first spell, and then she hands him the stone ring and he can feel the magic in it.
From their sex?
Mm-hmm.
They're sex wizards. They make magic from sex.
Right. Duh.
Duh, obviously.
The rest of the night is pretty uneventful. He has some weird, vibrant dreams and almost sleeps through breakfast, but hurries to get dressed and then follows Galiva down to the dining hall. She hands him his first set of robes and tells him that he needs to pick what he wants to study now. She goes over a couple of the different magics as they eat their food, and he doesn't know what to pick, so for now, he's going to act as a conduit during spells.
What's that mean?
Just like a receiver. He'll just be the one that's getting sexed.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he can like make the magic in the little sex cock ring.
Yeah. So he won't be casting the spells. He'll just be helping channel it through his butthole.
And his dick.
Cool.
You know.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
She then hands him a marble and a necklace. So they call them focuses, the cock rings that they use and put magic into. And then they put them on necklaces so they can use the magic later on. So she gave him his first necklace so he could put that stone ring on it with some type of marble that has a protection spell in it as well.
And it's always like a cock ring?
Sometimes it's like a ball shape.
Yeah.
How?
Perhaps like on a set of strings.
Oh.
Yeah.
And L beans.
Yeah. How magic's made.
Yeah.
Hmm.
He then meets a tall, willowy woman, and she has pointed ears. He recognizes her from his weird, crazy, vibrant dreams the night before. And Galiva says that her name is Marguerite. I've just been calling her Marg for the rest of my notes because I don't want to type Marguerite.
Marg.
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 Call her Marge.
Ooh.
But her name is Marguerite.
Marg.
Okay, Marg.
Because, like, when you want a margarita, do you say, oh, I want a Marge?
Well, I've never said I wanted a margarita, so.
Yeah, but if you were going to say that.
Well, now I'm going to say I would like a Marge.
And people are going to say, huh?
Who? A margarita?
Ever heard of it?
We can call her Marg, I guess.
Then Marg apologizes to Dom for entering his dreams. Sometimes she just dreamwalks, but he's not too mad about it because she is so beautiful. Marg asks if Dom has considered divination for his study since his dream pulled her in.
I'm not sure yet, I say. I don't know what divination entails, but if it's with her, I'm certainly willing to try it. He's like, she's hot. I'll bang her.
He asks if she can demonstrate, and she says, yeah, tomorrow, divination tower. And he says, I'll be there.
Whatever that means.
When she walks away, Galiva says she has someone she wants him to meet. They then go to the evocation tower where the man from the bathhouse yesterday is. And he's still hot as fuck, even clothed.
Are there any ugly people at this school?
No.
They're sex wizards. You can't be ugly.
They're all just hot, sexy sex wizards. All of them.
I would love to be enrolled.
Yeah. Some uggo tries to enroll and they're like, no.
Get out.
Turn around, ugly. Hot people only.
The man tells Galiva that he's too sore to do whatever magic she has planned right now. And she tells him that's why she brought Dom. We learn that this man is named Ulbrich, and Galiva says that she brought Dom to be a conduit so he can get an intro into evocation. Ulbrich says, perfect. I need to cast a lower spell so Dom shouldn't be too roughed up. Dom says, yeah, okay. So Ulbrich leads him up the stairs.
Dom's down as hell. He's down for whatever.
Yeah, yeah, he is.
He doesn't even know what this man is about to do.
No, he gets himself into some pickles and he's just like, all right.
His motto is, I'll try anything twice. That's what he says in the book.
And he lives by that.
Good for him.
In the room that Ulbrich leads him to, there are chairs, a familiar-looking cabinet, chains hanging from the wooden beams, and now he's nervous, especially when Gleeva says that she's not joining them, she's just there to watch.
Oh.
Ulbrich goes over the same rule, if Dom says stop, they stop, no questions asked. And then Dom is to get undressed. Ulbrich ties his wrists with some rope and then loops the rope through a ring that hangs from the ceiling. So his hands are above his head when Ulbrich asks if he's ever been with a man. Dom says no, and now Ulbrich is very excited because he has a virgin.
Ah, a virgin ass.
Ulbrich helps Dom get the rest of his clothes off since his hands are now bound, and then he grips his cock and starts stroking it. He slides two stone focuses down Dom's cock and hopes for more than one spell to be completed. Then he grabs some supplies from his cabinet, a leather flogger, a bottle, and a glass phallus. So, a dildo.
I was like, phallus? What's that?
A glass dildo.
I know those are like a thing, but
they're probably very hygienic.
Give me a good old nasty silicone.
Yeah. Porous. Absorbs all the fluids.
Yes. Microplastics. I want them in me. He holds out the glass bulb in front of me so I can get a good look at it. It's different from the one that Gleeva took out of me yesterday. Wider, for one thing, and shaped like a teardrop. I swallow when I notice a glowing focus sealed in the center. That's going in you.
Oh, yeah.
A teardrop? Which way are you putting it in?
Whichever way the wind blows you.
Then Ulbrich slips two fingers into his ass to stretch him out. He slaps Dom's ass to mix some pain with pleasure for the spells, and then shoves another finger in. So he's got three fingers up there right now.
Damn.
As Ulbrich is stretching him, Dom feels what he compares to an electric shock on his dick from the focuses on it. So that's the magic channeling into them.
Mm.
Then Ulbrich pulls his fingers free and shoves the bulb right into his ass.
Now, be sure to keep that in, he says. It's one of my favorites and I would hate for it to break. I feel the plug shift as Ulbrich touches the flared base. A tremor travels into the bulb and suddenly the thing is moving. It feels like the bulb has dissolved into so many glass balls, all of which are rolling around inside of me. I don't like that.
Not sure if that would be nice or terrifying.
A bunch of balls rolling around in your butthole?
Yeah, I'd be so scared.
Ulbrich then starts flogging his back while the orb in his ass is distracting him. So there's pain and pleasure both mixing as the focuses shock his dick over and over again, but Ulbrich doesn't stop. Dom feels like he's losing track of time as all three things happen at once. Dom begs Ulbrich, and then all of it stops. The orb is removed, but the ropes tighten, making him go to his tiptoes. Ulbrich steps behind him, checking in on him, and Dom says he's fine, and he begs Ulbrich again.
With one steady thrust, Ulbrich is inside of me, his sizable cock gliding deep into my well-prepared hole. I can't stop a shout at the sudden stretch, and Ulbrich buries himself to the hilt. His hips flush against my reddened ass. He hisses in pleasure, rolling his hips once, twice, as if to savor the feeling.
Ulbrich fucks him fast until Dom comes, and then Ulbrich grips Dom's cock, and he explodes inside of him. Ulbrich removes himself and undoes all the ropes so he can sit them both down. He pulls the focuses off of Dom and Ulbrich says, "Congratulations, you charged them all." So now they have hella magic in them.
He's so strong. He's got so much magic. Sex magic.
Dom asks to see what the spells actually do, so they get dressed so Ulbrich can show him. He leads the two of them to the courtyard and explains that the charge focuses have a defensive spell, so if he is ever threatened, it will buy them time to get away. And then he demonstrates by giving one to Dom and then shoving him as hard as he possibly can. The focus instantly reacts. In 1 second, Ulbrich is there, and the next, he's thrown back about 10 feet. Dom rushes to go help him, but Ulbrich says he's fine, giving him a new charged focus to have Dom put on his necklace. So Dom's got three freaking spells on his neck now.
Yeah, look at him. And he just got there.
Yeah. They then go to the bathhouse for some aftercare, because once you're doing whatever magic this is, because it's like BDSM magic at this point, you have to have the aftercare.
What kind of aftercare is that?
Like a nice little massage, a little soak in the tub.
Ah,
sign me up.
For real.
They leave the bathhouse. When the dinner bell rings, they go their separate ways, Dom finding Galiva at the dinner table. They eat and Galiva gives him some books to check out to hopefully help him pick what he wants to study. Later that night, Dom is visited in his dreams again by Marg. She's naked and straddles his lap, telling him he's gonna be late. He jolts awake, rushing to get ready, and then heads to the divination tower to finally meet her. He makes it just in time, and Marg tells him that divination is very different than the other magics. He will still be a conduit, but he's also going to be the focus and the caster of the spells. But there's a catch. He won't have a spell to take with him because his body and mind becomes the spell itself. He also learns that when he's casting the spell, he will not be able to see, move, hear, or speak. But she'll be with him in case he needs to get out of the spell.
That sounds scary.
Yeah.
She tells him to disrobe and then has him stand between two pillars. As he stands there, something cool washes over him. It slides up his thighs, caresses his cock, and he can't move. He looks down, seeing that it's silver as it engulfs his entire body. It then fills his mouth, blocking his eyes and his ears. So he's like completely covered in this silver substance.
No.
He panics, but can't do anything, and then the silver substance lifts from his eyes and mouth. Marg is there telling him to breathe. Everything is fine. She asks him if he wants to keep going, and part of him wants to say no, but he ends up saying yes. She keeps her hand on him, and the silver substance swallows him whole. Marg runs her hands all over his body, moving him where she wants. So she can move his physical body, but he can't move himself.
Oh my god. I feel like you'd be like claustrophobic.
Yeah.
She grabs his dick and cups his balls. He tries to moan, but he can't. She strokes him until he's fully erect, and then she has the silver ungag him and plug one ear so she can check in again. He says he's totally fine, and then he's swallowed up. She touches his body over and over and then takes his dick into her mouth.
I gasp, my entire body tensing. The wet heat makes me ache with need, my cock throbbing. Her tongue laps the underside of my length as she slides her lips back towards the tip. Her pace is unhurried, and a vague part of me wonders just how much time has passed. It feels like none at all. It feels like an eternity.
You're trapped. I can't.
It's like a sensory deprivation tank, but someone's fucking you.
Which, like, cool.
That sounds awful.
But scary, yeah.
As she's sucking his dick, he starts to hear whispers and sees muted colors. Then she's slipping a finger into his booty. He comes and she swallows it, but the colors start to blend to a full picture. It's of Alisandi, the lady that he fucked that got him the letter here. She looks older, and then he starts hearing male voices. He catches some of her reply about the Crux finding her. Then the silver slowly disappears.
And the Crux is the name of the school.
Huh.
He tells her what he saw, and she says that they've been looking for Alisandi for nearly a year. He tells her how he met Alisandi and how she gave him his letter over a year ago. She says that they need to speak to Grandmaster Arlon immediately. Arlon questions Dom about the divination spell, and Dom explains he definitely saw Alisandi. Marg tries to express the importance of the sighting, but Arlon isn't convinced. She pushes on mentioning all the others who have disappeared, and now Dom wants to know if the Crux is being targeted. Arlon says they think so, and then declares that they can put out a notice for the others to practice divination to see if they can find the missing members. Arlon then asks Dom to stay and asks him about his magic, cautioning him to take it easy so he doesn't wear himself out or possibly get hurt. Dom says that he can handle it, though.
Is that so? Arlon asks and takes another step towards me. I bump into the wall behind me without realizing I had even backed up. Then his hand grabs my crotch, his large fingers surprisingly gentle as he massages me through the fabric of my trousers. Then close your eyes.
Dom does as he's told as Arlon pulls his pants open, his underwear down, and slides something around his dick, but it's not a focus.
My balls are slipped between something tight. It almost pinches before they slip through and are able to hang normal. Then I hear something click and my eyes shoot open in alarm. Shiny metal covers the length of my cock, though there's a slit at the end for necessary functions. Oh, a cock cage.
He now has a cock cage and Arlon tells him he gets to wear it for 5 whole days so he can chill out. The next day, the post for divination is put up. At breakfast, Galiva asks him about his time traveling with Alisandi. As he tells her about it, he thinks back on the night that she had sex with him for the first time. He realizes Alessandri did not have her necklace, which is bad because that means she did not have access to any spells. Galiva also asks how long Arlan gave him. He's a little embarrassed and tells her 5 days, but it's okay because he can now actually read and study. Dom and Galiva go to Ulbrich. She makes him strip and has Dom bring her ropes. She walks him through everything until Ulbrich is strung up perfectly. She explains that the spell she wants to create is something that will assist people if they are getting taken. It's a containment spell that will also add pressure to obtain information from who it captures. Then they get started. Galiva starts lubing up a giant dildo and then shoves part of it into Ulbrich's ass. Then she puts 5 focuses on his dick.
Damn.
She has him stand on wooden blocks and lets him know if he so much as lifts a foot, he loses a block, which will then sink him further onto the dick.
That is so scary.
Then she starts caning him. Ulbrich is totally into this, but he ends up moving after one hit and she has to remove some of the blocks.
She reaches down and taps his foot. He lifts it and she removes one of the wood planks before doing the same to the other side. Ulbrich sets his feet back down, a few inches lower than he had been, making the large phallus slide deeper into him. He shudders and lifts himself up on his toes to try and ease the discomfort of it, but Galiva has set up the predicament well.
She smacks him some more until he shouts, trying to move away, which then makes him move his feet. She removes more planks, and Dom watches as Ulbrich sinks further onto the dick, and he wishes he could be part of this. He's wondering what Ulbrich's dick tastes like as well. Galiva continues the beating for over an hour. She removes more planks, making the dildo shove further up Ulbrich. He's in pain, and Galiva calls Dom over.
Galiva smiles and gives him a chaste kiss on the cheek before pointing the cane at Ulbrich's leaking cock. "Would you like to suck him?" she asks.
Dom says, yeah.
Please.
I would really want his wee-wee.
Has he ever met a dick he didn't want to suck, though?
Not our Dom.
I think it's funny his name's Dom, but he's very much a sub.
Yeah. Yeah. Ulbrich begs please, and Dom gets to his knees, performing the Gluck Gluck 3000. Galiva asks Ulbrich if he wants to come, and he screams yes. Dom sucks him off until Ulbrich explodes into his mouth, and Dom swallows every drop. Galiva unties Ulbrich and they give him his aftercare. Galiva doesn't finish though and asks Dom to finish the aftercare so she can go distribute some of the divination spells. The next morning, Arlan is checking in on Dom, just making sure everything's okay. And he reminds Dom that he doesn't have to do any magic he's not comfortable with. But our guy Dom is pretty much down for anything, so he's good.
Yeah.
Later that night, he goes out on the town with Ulbrich and Galiva. They meet a Maeve named Kin Cassie and they stroll the streets. They make their way to a market where they get beers and stew and they start cheersing to Dom being with them. Ulbrich has a little too much fun and gets real smashed. Dom has to carry him back to his room, re-hurting his already injured arm.
He fell off a cliff fighting a rabid wolf.
Yeah.
Damn.
So he lays Ulbrich down in bed, and Ulbrich wants to know what happened to his arm. Since he can't fuck him, he might as well tell a story. Dom mentions his time before the Crux and how he fell down a cliff after fighting off a wolf. And when he looks down, Ulbrich is asleep. So he says goodnight, and they have a little slumber party.
It's the day his chastity belt comes off, and he goes to take a nice little soak before seeing Arlan. An hour into his soak, Kin Cassie joins him in the pool, and they find out that Dom hasn't done transfiguration yet, so Kin Cassie says, later this week, it's a date. You, me, the harness, and Dom says, deal. So, Kin Cassie's a Maeve, but Maeve are pretty much, they're like, dual sex creatures. So they have both penis and vagina.
Ooh.
Yeah. It says they're all intersex. So there's a little peener above the vagina hole.
That's so cool.
And they're magical. And they have little boobies, but they're just magical.
Mm-hmm. They look very androgynous and beautiful.
With little pointy ears.
I was trying to think of somebody famous, but I can't.
Legolas, perhaps?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
With a pussy?
With a pussy?
Yeah.
Dom is at Arlan's office waiting to be called back when he runs into Marg, and they plan to do another divination this Saturday to see if he can see anything more this time. It seems like the rest of the people that have come forward are not having any success.
He goes back to see Arlan, and Arlan's like, oh, you're pent up, all right. Let me give you a demonstration on conjuration. And conjuration is the school of magic that creates matter out of thin air, and the casting methods include periods of chastity and masturbation. Arlan leads him down to the dungeons, and Dom sees this person that Kin Cassie was with last night, and it's a man named Thaddeus who's naked in one of those like medieval holders where you're like bent at the waist and your head and your arms are like in the little holes.
Oh, what are those called? The stocks.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say a guillotine.
Oh, no. That's too hardcore. Imagine there's just a bucket of tomatoes.
Tomato.
He also has a ball gag in his mouth and a hood covering his face. It appears that they're doing a domination spell, and Arlan orders him to be moved into the courtyard in front of all the others for this particular spell, and they can just do whatever they want with him, as long as he continues to consent.
Love that. Consent.
Because what they're doing with this spell, it needs to be able to dominate the will of an individual. Once he's gone, Arlan asks him about his week and how it felt being teased relentlessly. Dom said it's been maddening, and Arlan says, oh, you don't know maddening yet, and then he throws him down on the bed that they were next to. Dom's like, damn, I didn't know I was casting with Arlan today. Okay. And he doesn't care at all, even though Arlan's kind of as Dean and like...
Yeah, that's a breach of power.
He is Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Sexy Dumbledore.
But he doesn't care because he's hella horny. So he's like, fuck, I'm finally about to get a nut. Let's go.
Yeah, it seems like that's all he cares about. That's all he wants. A nut.
He's a sex wizard.
Yeah.
He's flipped over, so he's kneeling, but with his back to Arlan's chest, and he's facing a whole wall of mirrors. Arlan reminds him that, bloodline name or not, he's worthy of being in this school, and then he pushes him down, making Dom in the doggy position, and starts roaming over his body.
He nibbles gently, teeth scraping the inside of my thighs and scrotum. Then his tongue is at my ass, my eyes shoot wide in the mirror, and I jerk in surprise. He tightens his grip on my hair and holds my ass still as his tongue circles the pucker of flesh. I can't stop a moan. I've gotten used to the fascination with my ass here, but this is certainly new. Then he pokes his tongue into me.
He's getting his assy. By the principal.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
He's tongue-fucking his fart box and watching all this go down in the mirror.
Cute.
Jenna. Yeah.
Dom is looking at himself and he's like, holy fuck. And then he like has a really vain moment where he's like looking at himself in the mirror and he's like, holy fuck, I'm hot. Like,
he's who is that man in the mirror?
Yeah. Arlan stops eating his ass and starts fingering it with one and then two. Then he starts stroking his G-spot. Dom sees in the mirror that he's making a bit of a mess because he's dribbling out of his little caged cock. Arlan works another finger and then withdraws them, and Dom is begging. But have no fear, it's only to pull his dick out and to fuck him.
I am going to fuck you, Domini, he says, his deep voice rumbling through me. And only after I am satisfied will you have your freedom. He turns me sideways to the mirrors and bends me forward until I'm on all fours, his hand fisting in my hair. And I want you to watch. Principal, no.
Arlan is fucking him gently and basically edging him. After what seems like forever, he finally takes pity and he fucks him hard and relentlessly. Then he comes.
He pulls out with another groan of pleasure and my whole twitches at the loss. I shudder as I feel a trail of wet follow him, sliding down between my legs. I feel used and dirtied, and goddamn, if it doesn't do something to me. My cock throbs, swollen and red inside of the cage. Then something cool and round slides against my stretched ass. Oh my god, get ready.
It's there to contain the spell he's about to conjure, and he fills Dom's ass with four balls of the anal bead.
Ah.
Arlan gives him the key to unlock his dick, and finally he's free. He's so horned up right now, Arlan said it will be hard for him to focus on anything for the spell, so just do what feels good, and they'll see the results after. And Dom wastes no time, he just starts stroking it right in front of his principal.
I watch the slide of my hand up and down my cock, see my thumb stroke over my head. All the while, Arlan sits in a chair behind me, a grin on his face. Everyone here is a freak.
They're sex wizards.
Yeah, I know.
Right as he's about to come, he pulls out his anal beads and then screams as he comes, not stopping until he's completely spent. Once he's recovered a little bit, they go outside to test the spell he just casted. What he casted was a wolf, a twin wolf to the wolf that nearly killed him and deformed his arm. But this wolf is very relaxed and it's not lunging at him. It's now obeying every command, and Arlan said he just conjured his first familiar.
Oh, cool.
I wish I had a wolf familiar.
Yeah, so now he just gets to keep it, right?
Yeah, it's just like his little wolfie.
Cute.
Dom has officially been through his first full week. So all this happened within 7 days.
Yeah, he did a lot of stuff in those 2 days before he got the cock cage on.
But like you said, they're sex wizards.
They're sex wizards. They have jobs to do.
They do.
People to save.
People to fuck.
Yeah.
Galiva told him that she has her mastery in cryptomancy and she could probably heal his arm, but it would be more than challenging because it's an old injury. She would have to cast directly on him. He's like, okay, let's do it. But she warns him, this kind of casting needs a lot of pain and endurance, and no matter what, he can always stop. So he says, come on, hurt me, gal.
Oh.
They get to the tower and he's given the option to either stay still or be strapped down. And he chose to be strapped down since he doesn't know exactly what he's in for just yet. She starts unraveling a leather case full of 20 needles and tell them that she's going to pierce the skin where his injury is. Ever the opportunist, he's still down to do this and he tells her to get strapping and get tapping.
Yeah. I want to know what he's not down for.
Yeah, truly.
By the third needle, homeboy is moaning. On his last needle, he feels everything bend itself together and it wasn't painful as it was pressure. And the next thing he knows, the spell's complete. So he actually wasn't really even in that much pain. He like took so much pleasure from it.
Oh, slay, Dom.
From Galiva's instructions, he has to take it easy while his arm's healing, so he has a very uneventful 2 days. On his third day, he tests out his bow that he treasured, and he's amazed and so happy that he can finally draw it again. Because before he got hurt, he like led people through the woods safely.
Oh,
he was a guide.
Oh, all right, Dom.
He's a man of many talents.
Yeah, he is.
He's a guide and he's a sex wizard.
Two great things.
Yeah.
He goes straight outside and makes his own little target and successfully shoots his arrow for the first time in over a year. He does this over and over until the muscle in his arm starts getting sore. Right when he's about to leave, he notices Albrecht was there watching him, and he's kind of nervous that Dom's upset with him because Albrecht was the one that told Galiva about his arm, and Dom walks right up to him and gives him a big old smooch. Things get intense between them and they're feeling the tension. They start passionately making out and taking their clothes off until they fall naked on the plush grass and Dom is on top of this time. Dom kisses him all over and decides to enforce the Gluck Gluck 3000. Just when Albrecht is at his peak, he grabs Dom for a kiss and then with his hand, he grabs Dom's dick using his magic to lube it with lotion. Then Dom tops for the first time in his life.
Wow.
They're not even having sex for magic. They're just having sex to have sex.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Intimacy.
I pull out a few inches before sinking back into his willing heat. Goddamn, but he feels incredible. I thrust in again, feeling Ulbrich's leg tighten around my waist. I set a pace, and he rolls in time with me, taking every inch of my cock as I bury it inside of him over and over again. I reach between us and grab his erection, stroking it in time with my thrusts.
All right. Sex for fun.
As us civilians do.
Us non-sex wizards.
Muggles.
Yeah. Muggles, that's what I was looking for. Civilians.
That too.
They come together in holy cumminess and are completely spent from this intimate moment between the two of them. They lay together for a while and Ulbrich tells him that he came here to actually tell him that he's been called away for a few weeks for guard duty. There's a mine that has requested aid, but not to worry because he's more than prepared and this is not his first rodeo. Dom trusts him and kisses him once more, telling him to hurry back, and Ulbrich promises he will do his best. Dom is racked with nerves because he's about to have his first transmutation date with Ken Cassie today, and they said to meet in the courtyards because they're casting outside today, in the open.
You're really planning on casting out here? I ask as I look around the courtyard. The nice weather has drawn people outside, and I spot a couple having lunch under one of the droopy trees, while a few others read in the shade. Of course, you can't bring a horse into the crux, Ken Cassie says slyly.
Once you find out what Ken Cassie's about to do, I would be so fucking pissed that they brought me out into public to do it. But Dom has no shame, so.
No, he's down. Basically, with transmutation, the conduit really has to fall into the role that they're taking on. So if he wants the spell to be as strong and as powerful as a horse, he's going to have to be a damn horse while being casted on.
Oh, God.
Dom is nervous because he doesn't know if he feels comfortable, but Ken Cassie says, no worries. We can clear out the yard so there's no audience. And after the yard clears, Dom is a little bit more comfortable and ready to move forward. Dom gets naked and they start preparing for the spell. King Cassie gives him a horse hoof shoe to put on and then a harness and then leather cuffs, and it's the whole fit.
Oh my God. The shoes get me every time. Just imagine wearing those.
Ah, no.
You just click-clacking around town.
I know. I feel like you have to like really take on the persona of a horse.
Yeah. Ken Cassie said Arlan was a workhorse when he did it with them. So they're curious to see what kind of horse he pulls for the spell. Back home in Maeve, where they're from, they trained horses and they can't wait to train him.
Ken Cassie continues to stroke my cock and I can't ignore how good it feels. Once I'm hard, they take a thin leather strap and tighten it around the base of my length. A second one goes around my balls, constricting and tugging them down. It's not exactly painful, but it makes me groan anyway. Literally no shame. He's like, I don't care about this.
Have a little shame, Dom. Just like at least a little bit.
Yeah.
His only shame is that he didn't do this sooner.
Yeah. I mean, he had a little bit of shame because he's like, make everyone leave.
Yeah.
I don't want them to see me be a pony.
As he should.
Ken Cassie takes the leather wristbands and straps them onto his belt, and then he surrenders submissively. Then Ken Cassie pops in a bit gag into his mouth. They tell him if he horses around too hard and forgets how to talk over the bit, to stick both thumbs up and they will stop. And then they gag him. Because I guess if you do like pony plates so hard, you can like actually start thinking that you're a pony. So Ken Cassie was like, in case you think you're a horse and you want me to stop, just put up two thumbs.
Horses don't have thumbs.
Yeah. Ken Cassie tells Dom he looks amazing, but there's one thing missing.
They reach into the near empty pack and pull out a long black horsetail that's attached to a sizable glass plug. Yeah, you cannot forget that.
Yeah. I was reading this and I was like, there's going to be a horsetail butt plug. I know it.
There has to be.
Mm-hmm.
They twist their digits before spreading me gently, their long fingers opening me to the whole goddamn courtyard. I whimper, my face red hot as they find that sweet spot inside of me and curl a finger against it. They thrust slowly, taking their time to warm me up.
Imagine you're just eating lunch in the courtyard and then you look over and you see this happening.
Dom's ass literally starts weeping until the tail is put in, filling the gaping hole of need. Ken Cassie strokes Dom's dick and then starts training him. They'll point to a section and click their teeth, and if Dom hesitates, they whip him. Next thing Dom knows, he's trotting in a circle. Then he's running and training.
He said, I am a horse. Call me Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron.
Spirit.
Dom has entered horseplay subspace, and he is really liking this.
I think I'm really starting to like pony play.
Ken Cassie then takes Dom out of the emptied yard, and now they're in the open where anyone can see. They decide to strap him on a cart and use him like a working horse. And Homeboy's loving this. There's like pre-cum literally dripping from him, and there's lust and whips, and he's having the best day of his life.
Go Dom.
When they return back to the yard much later, Ken Cassie declares their horsey deserves a reward and then takes off all of Dom's gear but the tail. They ask Dom, since he's been such a good boy, how he wants to finish the spell off. Only Dom can't speak because he's horsed around too hard, but he's looking at Ken Cassie and then flips them around and pins them up against a tree.
They give a little gasp of surprise that makes the heat surge through me as I lean against the curve of their back to pin them. My freed hands make quick work of pulling their skirts up to rest over their hips. It's a thrill to find that King Cassie is wearing nothing underneath, and I glide a finger over their wet, waiting slit.
Dom decides to do a whole Catherine the Great moment and bang the fuck out of King Cassie, and that's how he wants to finish the spell. Do you get it? Because Catherine the Great was fucked by a horse.
Is that real?
I'm pretty sure that they said it was speculation, but it was a legit thing back in the day. They were like, she fucks horses.
Oh, did you guys hear about Mr. Hands?
No.
No, it was one of those viral early 2000s videos of a guy who lost a dare and he got fucked by a horse.
Ew.
He died. I saw the video. It was alarming.
What the fuck, Charlotte?
Yeah.
Where were your parents?
Well, my mom left me.
You set yourself up for that one.
And my dad was working to support our failing family. And I was at home watching weird videos on the family computer.
All right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, your dad did a great job.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll tell him.
Thank you.
When Dom finishes, he realizes that one of his magic-absorbing focuses that was on his dick, the magical cock ring, is still inside Ken Cassie. This exploration, he's like up in there trying to find it. It leads to round two, but this time, instead of Pound Town,
Dom is giving them a handy.
Oh.
Once all is said and done and all the rings are collected, can Cassie ask if they could call on him for future casting? And Dom said, oh, yeah, baby. Absolutely. Gleeva sees Dom in the breakfast hall and is like, hell yeah, brother. Ken Cassie was glowing. You're progressing so fast. I think you might be ready to try casting yourself. If that makes you nervy, you can always like have one of us in the room with you. And he says, once Ulbrich is back, it's a date. Gleeva tells him that she unfortunately needs to try another divination session with Marg. And Dom's like, girl, give it to me straight. Like, what is going on between you two? Because the whole time they're kind of like standoffish with each other. She tells him it was a long time ago, but Marg just got her mastery and she was sick and casting when she shouldn't have been and accidentally fell asleep while Gleeva was in silver, aka like the little space where there's no senses whatsoever, where you said you'd get claustrophobic.
Oh, yeah.
So she fell asleep and she got stuck in there forever.
Fuck no. I'd be mad too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd hate her. I'd be like, we are not friends.
And it makes her super upset because both of her parents have a master's in divination, and the fact that she's now terrified of it makes her feel like a failure. Dom takes a lead and asks her if she'll let him cast while Marg supervises, and she says, okay. They convince Marg that they're her best shot, and she agrees to let this happen. Dom, with Marg's help, introduces her to the silver slowly until she's comfortable and teases her body all along the way to help relax her. And he's making sure that he's in constant communication with her and like nonstop touching her to make her feel like she's not alone. They start with a minute, then do 10. And to Galiva's surprise, she tells him that she'll be fine with an hour as long as he continues to touch her body and tease her in the silver. So he does. You name it, he's doing it. He's fingering her, eating her, teasing her. They're both moaning, and it's a great time. When time is almost up, he thinks he's fixing to fuck her. When the silver starts flashing colors, that's how he knows she's about to come.
The colors flash stronger, brighter. I alternate the phallus and my own cock, filling one hole and then the other as I fuck her slow. Her walls quiver around my length, and I only get 3 more thrusts before Gleeva clenches around me. She cries out as her orgasm comes hard, and I feel the silver shudder as she tenses inside of it. Her walls clench hungrily around my length, and I swear, my balls aching as I stave off my own end by a hair.
Once she's done, he slowly removes the silver and starts bringing back her senses. Once she has control of her mouth, she's gasping, and he notices that she's crying. Once all of her senses are back, he apologizes and immediately asks if she's all right. She says she's fine, and he was amazing, but she saw something in there, and she won't tell him until he goes next to see what he sees. She promises Dom she's okay, and her time in the silver was actually amazing, but during his turn, he's gonna pay for all the teasing that he did to her, and he says, do your worst. During Dom's time in the silver, both girls are teasing him now, sucking his nipples and fingering his ass, and he's drowning in the sensations already. He gets pegged with the silver holding him up, and it's incredible.
Oh, pegged. Well, that's nothing. He's been getting fucked in the ass. Never mind.
Yeah. They edge him and stop touching him for a while, which drives him mad. But when they start going at it again, one of them give him the Gluck Gluck 3000, and once again, he's edged. This time, he's on the verge of crying. He gets fucked and sucked and teased, and finally, he's able to come. But when he does, he sees a vision of Ulbrich.
Oh.
He's running through a familiar woods when he's being chased and attacked. He uses his necklace to draw magic until it's cut off of his neck and there's a blade replaced with it. There's a hooded woman that tells a man named Diren to grab all the spells the necklace dropped as Ulbrich is held at knife point, and then he's pulled out of the vision. When his senses come back, he looks at Gleeva with horror-struck eyes and asks her what she saw. She tells him that she saw another wizard that went missing, Alex, and they were both beating him and sexually assaulting him.
Oh, Jesus.
Dom tries to calm himself, but what he just saw means wizards are being targeted and there's no second to waste. He turns to the girls and tells them that they've got Ulbrich.
The three of them go to find Arlan to tell him what they've seen, and when Dom tells Arlan that he heard the name Diren being used in his vision, Arlan is immediately like, wait a damn minute. And Dom's like, who is that? And Arlan tells him he's a sorry excuse for a wizard who was expelled a few years ago for not following their explicit consent rules, and his conduit was hospitalized.
Oh.
But since Diren's family is extremely wealthy, he was never arrested. Arlan gathers the whole gang and gives them their missions to track down the missing wizards, but Dom notices his name is left out and wants to know why he's not allowed to go. And Arlan simply tells him he's new and should stay here, but Dom says he recognized the setting in his vision of Ulbrich, and they need to bring him because he knows where to go. It's just outside his old stomping grounds, and they'll need him as a guide at the very least. Because remember, he was a guide before he was a sex wizard.
Oh, that is right.
Arlan is hesitant, but ultimately agrees. He hands Dom a focus off of his necklace and tells him at the first sign of danger, he is to take it and stay down and out of sight. Arlan tells Marg to let Kinkasi know they'll need horses and provisions for the next 3 weeks. And she's like, why don't we just use the same spell that Ulbrich used to get there in a fraction of that time? So Ulbrich used some spell to like teleport or something.
Oh,
They're going to be traveling for 3 weeks on horseback.
Arlan gives a shadow of a grin. Unless you want to ride to the foothills with a phallus in you. We don't have enough castings of it. We have to travel the old-fashioned way. He must see the dismay on my face because he adds, with King Cassie's horses, we'll make it in 4 days. But I'll keep that spell in mind for the way back. He's like, we don't have enough time to fuck that much.
Sorry, Dom.
Ride your horse.
Dom's like, damn.
Dang it. Shoot. They spend the rest of the day prepping for their journey and plan to leave in the morning. Galiva comes to visit Dom in his room because neither of them wants to be alone, and he asks more about this mysterious Dirin character. She tells him he's part of the extremely wealthy and powerful Barclay family. He was a real dick when she'd met him, and she refused to work with him. She's glad she did too, because she'd been one of the people who stitched his conduit Justina up after he assaulted her during their casting. The woman left shortly after and gave up her magic entirely. So it was so bad, she was like, I don't want to be a sex wizard anymore.
Oh gosh.
His family put up a big stink over his expulsion, but Arlan refused to budge and never let him back into the crux. They finally manage to fall asleep together and they snooze until Kinkasi wakes them up because it's time to go. They all go down to the courtyard and Dom is surprised to see how big their group is, and he doesn't even know everyone who's coming along. The squad gets on their horses, Arlan gives a speech about how dangerous this mission will be, and then they're off. They travel and travel until 3 days later, they're just outside the Hoboken Woods, which is the woods that Dom used to guide people through.
Oh, so he knows his way around.
Yep, and this is where the wizards are presumed to be. They set up camp for the night, and Arlan says from now on, they'll need to shield their campsites so they don't get stumbled upon by the enemy. But shoot, nobody has the right focuses with them, so Arlan needs 2 volunteers to be conduits so they can make the focuses. And of course, Dom stands up and is like, me! And then there's another dude named Garrett who stands up and says, I'll do it too.
Of course, they're both men.
Tom's like, I volunteer as tribute!
Dom has been eyeballing this dude Garrett the whole trip because he's an orc, and he was always raised to dislike orcs. But he decides he's going to give this one a chance, because he's heard that orcs are just barbarians and very violent and stupid. So this whole trip, he's been like looking at this Garrett dude like, I don't like you.
What's an orc?
He has like tusks and gray skin.
Like a gray ogre.
Yeah. Oh.
Like gray Shrek.
Yeah.
All right.
Arlan and Kinkasi will be casting, and they command their conduits to strip. Since they're using 2 conduits for the same spell, they'll be tied together for this session. Their bindings are connected by their arms to a tree branch above them, so they're almost dangling, but they're smushed together with rope.
Oh. So he's smushed with the orc?
Yep. Front to front. Nudie booty. Hanging from a tree.
Smushing dicks.
Oh, yeah.
Just as they're secured, Garrett looks right at Dom and is like, what's your problem with me? Awkward. Not the time, Garrett.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh my God, I'm in shit.
Dom is shocked and is like, I don't even know you, dude. And Garrett says, well, we're about to get to know each other real well. Both conduits are stripped down to the skin to get this spell started.
I shiver as I feel his sizable cock brush mine. The cold that's doing nothing to help me doesn't have the same effect on him.
Oh, so he's like, I can't get hard, but he is.
He's got like shriveled dick, and this orc is just schlonging out.
Yeah.
Right.
Both of them are gagged and muzzled by Arlan and then blindfolded. Kinkasi binds both men's ankles together and then uses some branches as spreader bars so they're forced to keep their legs wide open. Dom can feel Garrett getting hard against him and then hands are roaming all over his body talking about what a sexy little minx he is. And he can feel Garrett getting the same treatment.
Through his gag, I hear Garrett's deep groan by my ear. The sound does things to me I don't really care to admit, but my cock's not nearly as good at keeping a secret. I feel myself getting hard even as the hands on my ass spread me wide. I shudder in anticipation.
Someone is finger popping Dom's ass and someone else puts a few focuses on his dick and starts to give him an old fashioned. Whoever is working on Garrett is gushing about what a perfect cock he has. Then Dom is pulled backward so his ass is in the air.
I feel a cock prod at my well-slicked hole. Without my eyes, I have no idea who it is, and the thought of being passed around lights my nerves on fire. The focuses around my cock spark as whoever it is eases it into me. I wail into the gag and hear Garrett moan in response, deep and guttural. Whoever it is sets a slow, leisurely pace that makes pleasure race up my spine. My cock bobs with every thrust, hard as a rock. Other than those first few strokes, I'm acutely aware that no one has touched it since. God, he's so sensitive, Thaddeus says, and I'm finally able to put a voice to the cock inside of me, and so tight. Oh, so it's Thaddeus.
Thaddeus.
Dom can hear Arlon absolutely pounding Garrett's ass, which really gets him going as Thaddeus plows into him to completion. Thaddeus pulls out and Galiva steps up to the plate with her strap. She bangs his hole even more brutally than Thaddeus. When her turn is over, it's up to Kinkassi to finish the job. They slide into Dom as Garrett accidentally brushes against Dom's dick before someone's mouth closes around it. Kinkassi finishes in Dom's booty, and Dom is desperate to come. A string of anal bead focuses is slid into his ass as his mystery blowjob continues, and he knows he's gonna bust real big.
I howl as my orgasm overtakes me. Someone starts to pull the string of focuses out of me, and I moan until I run out of breath, shuddering as each marble pops out of me. It adds another layer of pleasure to my release, making me feel lightheaded. The lips around my cock continue to suck until I'm well and fully spent.
Good damn.
Just in the woods on a rescue mission.
Yeah. Having an orgy.
They're sex wizards.
Dom can hear Garrett getting the same treatment, and when it's over, the two men slump into each other. The spell was a success, and they have plenty of focuses all charged up to keep them safe. They're let out of their bindings, and everyone settles around the fire to wind down. Dom finds Garrett and is like, hey, sorry I've been stink-eyeing you this whole trip. I was just raised to believe that orcs were bad, but maybe I was wrong. Garrett tells him that the orc slander is propaganda created by humans that stole their land and got mad at them for retaliating. Dom apologizes for feeling some type of way about Garrett before getting to know him, and his apology is accepted. They bond and chit-chat a little bit and hype each other up about getting their missing wizards back home safely. The next day, their journey continues and Dom recognizes one of the miners that they run into as an old pal from home named Walter. He tells the group about how a group of people pretending to be from the Crux attacked the miners and raided the mine. They weren't after the gold, though. The man pulls out a pearly white focus and says they were after this. They found an entire vein of it a few weeks ago. Ulbrich showed up and stopped them from taking what they hadn't already stolen. The humans have no idea what it is, only that it seems valuable and important. Arlon is like, oh fuck, so now they have a cartload of focuses and hostage wizards. And they're like sexually assaulting the wizards, so they basically have unlimited magic.
Oh my god.
Kinkassi seals the mine up indefinitely, and Arlon promises the miners they'll be paid through the season, but they need to skedaddle out of here now. They look around and find evidence of Ulbrich's scuffle with his captors and follow the trail. Eventually, the trail gets cold and they have to set up camp for the night to wait for more clues. The next morning, Dom is searching everywhere for a sign of where Ulbrich was taken and is getting frustrated when he comes up empty-handed. Then he has an idea and he busts out his new familiar, the wolf.
Oh, that's right.
She uses her super sniffer to get them back on the right track and leads them for a few miles until she stops and starts growling with her hackles raised. Someone takes off running in Dom's periphery and he commands his wolf to hunt them down and bring them back unharmed. The wolf takes off running after the mystery person, but Dom soon hears her yelp when she's out of sight. Galiva uses one of her spells to immobilize the runner and finally they're caught. It's a woman and she's stuck, unable to move, right next to Dom's dead wolf familiar who vaporizes as soon as Dom touches her.
That's sad.
Yeah, he goes to reach for her and she just poof, turns into smoke. Dom looks at the woman and instantly recognizes her as the woman from his vision, the one with the knife to Ulbrich's throat.
Oh shit.
They interrogate her and she tells them that she's a hired mercenary. Whoever hired her is half a mile up the hill. She's already been paid, so if they want their thoughts, and she literally says thoughts in the book.
Oh shit.
Yeah. She says, if you want your thoughts back, you'd better go now, because I have no stake in this aside from money. I was taken aback by thoughts.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Those hoes over there. Thaddeus uses a spell on her to compel her to stay put until they come back for her. They leave the horses with her under a veil of magical camouflage and start running to find their missing thoughts. When they get to the cave entrance, Arlan orders Dom to stay behind because he's not an official wizard yet, and Dom reluctantly agrees to hang back, with one of the camouflage spells keeping him hidden. Just as everyone disappears from the cave, Dirin and his cronies come walking up with a pissed off, bound, and gagged woman. Dirin looks around and sees the footprints of the wizards that have gone looking for him in the cave. He secures his hostage and tells his men that there's someone inside and they're gonna check it out. Dom is frozen in fear, but shakes it off and follows behind them. And remember, he's camouflaged, so they don't know he's there.
Oh, yeah.
Once he's in the cave, he follows the long, dark tunnel where he can hear voices. He opens a door and sees all of the missing wizards restrained, but no Ulbric. But Dom can hear his voice coming from an adjacent room, and he's yelling at someone to get off of him. He sneaks in to see what's happening, and he sees Ulbric bloody, drugged, and bound by his wrists from the ceiling, and a man is ripping his clothes off. Dom is seeing red, and he yells to get off of Ulbric as he knocks an arrow and fires at the assaulter, hitting him right in the eyeball.
Yeah.
The man dies immediately. He does not survive.
Good.
He takes the dead man's spell necklace, gets it to Alisandi, and promises to come back for them once he can find Arlan. He follows the sound of fighting and finds Arlan and the gang going up against Dirin and his men. It's not going well for Arlan, and Dom can tell, so he knocks another arrow and fires. But Dom isn't fast enough, and Dirin spots him before snapping his fingers and disappearing completely. So he just snap, poof, he's gone.
Ah, such a wizard.
A sex wizard. Arlan and the crew take the two men Dirin left behind and bind them to bring back to the Crux. Then Dom tells Arlan he found the missing wizards. They all rush to save their comrades, who are all battered, bruised, and looking quite traumatized. Everyone heads out of the caves, where they see the woman Dirin left out front. She tells them she's a human named Orabel who was paid for a night with Dirin, but he decided to keep her instead. And Arlan says, "You'll be safe with us. Come." They set up camp for the night, and Ulbric snuggles up to Dom, telling him that he went through hell, and asks how they found him. Dom tells him that they saw him during divination and immediately came to the rescue, and then he holds Ulbric as he sobs.
Aww.
And Alisandi does say that Ulbric was never fully sexually assaulted. His first assault was when Dom found him in the room.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Could have been worse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. After a few days of hard travel, everyone makes it back to the Crux, and Dom tells Alisandi that he's so glad he ran into her a year ago, and she tells him how impressed she is by his skills after only being at the Crux for a month. Also, she's like, "The king is my cousin, and Dirin's two cronies will have to answer for their crimes. It's a bummer that Dirin disappeared, though." Arlan pulls Dom aside and tells him with everything he's done for the Crux and the wizards, he's decided to officially confirm his mastery of divination. He's a real legit wizard now. Sex wizard.
Woo!
But Dom did disobey a direct order to hang back at the cave entrance and needs a punishment. He tells Dom he'll be wearing a red robe, signaling to everyone that he can be used for casting at any time. So he's basically like a free use slut.
And Dom's like, "Oh no,
shoot,
shame."
Dom laughs and is like, "Oh no, I'm devastated." And Arlan laughs with him, saying he figured Dom would enjoy this punishment. Dom and Ulbric take a little bath together to wash off the grime of traveling for 2 weeks, and Ulbric tells him how grateful he is to Dom for everything he did to save them. As Dom washes Ulbric's hair, he tells him about Arlan confirming his divination mastery, and Galiva walks up and tells him that's a new Crux record for the fastest someone has ever achieved a mastery. So he's like a prodigy sex wizard.
Yeah.
The next day, Dom is in his red robes walking through the halls when Garrett the orc spots him. Garrett immediately grabs Dom by the arm, spins him around, pinning him against the wall, and starts kissing Dom's neck. Dom is moaning with need, but Garrett releases him, winks, and walks away, leaving Dom with a raging case of blue balls. The day after that, at breakfast, a tiny enchanter named Ombra walks up and pinches Dom's ass cheek, saying, "Eyes on me, fuckboy." She backs him into the table and grabs his dick through his trousers.
"Oh, you like this," she purrs. "I bet you want me to ride you right here on the breakfast table, don't you?" I gasp as her hand dips under the hem of my trousers to grab my swelling length. "Fucking hell," I moan and thrust into her grip. "Please?" Amber's smile is pure mischief. "I like how you ask so politely," she says. "Why don't you show me how you beg?"
Dom says, please fuck me on the breakfast table. But she just smirks and says, no, and walks away.
Okay.
Then Dom starts going up to everyone asking to fuck, but they all turn him down with smiles on their faces. And this happens for 2 weeks straight with people just groping him and walking away, which is insane.
Yeah.
Until one night he's in his room jerking it when Marg and Alessandi walk in on him.
My eyes widen in surprise, my face flushing hot, but the twin smiles they wear only grow when they catch sight of my hard cock in my hand. I'm not given a second to recover as the two women descend on me. Alessandi grabs my hand off my cock and pins it to the bed as she straddles my waist. My other hand is pinned shortly after, her fingers twining with mine. We came to say goodnight, she purrs. Not ready to go to bed yet, I gasp, only to moan as Marguerite's hot mouth wraps around my cock.
Dom is on the verge of coming, but then Marg pops off his dick and Alessandi gives him a smooch on the cheek. He thinks he's getting tortured again, but both women get between his legs and start making out around his dick.
The two women take turns holding me down while the other works my cock. They use their mouth, their hands. At one point, Alessandi even pulls down the collar of her nightdress to allow my length to slide through the cleft of her tits while Marguerite laps at my tip. I'm brought to the edge of orgasm more times than I can count, but they always manage to pull away before they topple me over into bliss. Please, I shout at the edge of my endurance. Fucking hell, please let me finish. Marguerite smiles as she trails a line of kisses over my heaving chest before catching my lips. Not tonight, she says. Alessandi slips off my bed as she straightens her nightdress. And don't go finishing yourself off after we're gone. I would just be like, no, I'm gonna.
Yeah. He's a man of integrity. He gets a smooch on the cheek from each woman and they skip out of his room. The next morning, he finds Kinkassi in the bath and slides in with them. It gets steamy quick, but Kinkassi's like, nope, it's not going to be me who ruins this. Sorry. And Dom says, ruin what? And Kinkassi just smiles and says, you'll see. That night at dinner in the mess hall, Dom is pretty much convinced he's never going to come again. He's eating and sulking at a table with his friends when Arlon comes up behind him and swoops him up, restraining him as everybody gets up at once and starts to rip Dom's pants and undies off. He's fully Winnie the Poohing it in front of the whole cafeteria, and Arlon shoves Dom's undies into his mouth to gag him. Everyone in the room is hooting and hollering.
Oh my god.
Mortification at being stripped in front of the entire crux is quickly eclipsed by arousal as someone grabs my cock. I blink and suddenly Garrett is in front of me, hand gripping my hair. He releases his gray cock from the slit in his trousers as he yanks the gag out. I barely get a breath in before he thrusts deep enough into my mouth that I nearly choke. Suck, he orders, and it doesn't even cross my mind not to obey. Behind me, someone slicks my hole with lotion, even as the hand continues to tug at my cock. So rough it borders on painful. I'm having a hard time keeping track of who is all around me. There are hands everywhere, groping at my ass and thighs, pinching and teasing.
Oh my god, this sounds overwhelming.
In the middle of the cafeteria.
Yeah.
Garrett is fucking his face, Galiva is finger-popping his ass, and Dom moans hard. This sends Garrett over the edge, who pulls out and comes all over Dom's face. Then there's a switcheroo as Kinkassi starts fucking Dom's face and Ulbricht slides his dick into Dom's ass. Kinkassi pulls out, coming on top of Garrett's cum, and Ulbricht comes in Dom's ass. Thaddeus slides into Dom's ass next as Marg pulls her skirt up and sits on Dom's face.
She straddles my head and I glimpse the folds of her pussy framed by neatly trimmed hair before she sits. I barely get a breath in before her slit grinds against my face. I know what's expected of me and I lick and suck her folds like my next breath depends on it.
Eat that pusher.
Thaddeus comes in his ass as Mark comes on his face and they step back, making room for Galiva and Ombra to walk up to the plate. Galiva slides 5 focuses around Dom's dick. Ombra sits on Dom's face as Galiva sits on his dick and begins to ride him. Then Arlon walks up and slides into Dom's ass. Ombra comes, thanks Dom, and hops off his face.
Arlon starts to speed up, his cock thrusting wetly into my well-worked hole. The feel of him splitting me open, the heat of Galiva quivering around me after everything else, it's too much to take.
He comes in Dom's ass and says, let this man come, and slides a string of focuses into his wet asshole. Galiva starts riding Dom crazy style and he finally gets to come and he's literally screaming through it. Everyone talks around him about what an amazing wizard he is, and then he's left alone with Ulbricht and Galiva because they will be doing his aftercare.
Galiva tells him he belongs here. He's one of them. And Ulbrich is like, yeah, we don't plan a gangbang for just anyone. They both tell him how amazing he is. And Dom smiles, finally starting to believe it. The end.
Wow. What a freaking story.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
Honestly, I don't know if like fantasy is like for real my thing. I think I give it 3. A nice solid 3. It was good. It was entertaining enough. But yeah, I think I'm more of like a contemporary dark romance girly. What did you guys think of it?
I couldn't rate it because I'm reading Harry Potter right now.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit.
This is like sex Hogwarts.
It really, yeah. So I was reading Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, like, and I paused it to read this book. So I was like, I can't rate it.
Okay, fair.
I gave it a 3. There was so much sex, but I didn't think it was sexy.
Yeah, none of it was like sexy to me.
I feel like anybody could have died and I would have been like, nah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, next week, we're telling Riley all about Candied by Adeline Graves and Rebecca Massey. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about. And it is a special Easter episode.
Oh, is it?
Tis.
It's literally just like a little Easter egg, some grass, melted chocolate. Okay, since it's Easter, I think it's going to be the Easter Bunny. I think it's going to be this single mom. Her kids are with their dad for Easter, and she's feeling just very lonely and sad. And so she's just eating like her kids' Easter candy that she got for them. Boom, Easter Bunny shows up. And they get to fucking. And they actually build a, like, a very, like, loving relationship.
Just her and the Easter Bunny?
Yeah.
Okay.
Her kid's new stepdad. How'd I do?
It is the Easter season, and there is a bunny-shaped male character.
Bunny-shaped male character. Okay. She fucks a chocolate bunny.
No.
Dang it.
Can you imagine? She's like, fuck, I love Easter.
Well, we'll find out next week.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.